Woo. I want to talk to you today about strength, size and power. I had an experience just recently. I had a strange experience, a real weird, freaky experience, and which revealed something about me and others. And I took the kids out on a day to a forest, and we were having a great time, three of us. And this is in a vast woodlands area where I went. And it's so vast you can lose your kids quite easy, which was tempting, but wouldn't have been good coming back and trying to explain it to the parents. So I'm in this woods, and we've been a couple of hours, and we decided to go from one side of the woods to the other side of the woods, which means we got back in the car, drove up the road, parked on the other side so we could explore. Because I'm a bit of an adventurist. I want to know what's in the area. And the kids will just follow. They love that. And in this woods, they've built teepees out of sticks and trees so the kids can have their adventure. Fantastic place. And they've got segways. They've got zip wires in this place. All the fun. Everything for me is there. Never mind the kids. And we're in this car park. And by this time, I must have walked. I literally kid you not. I must have walked 10 miles with the kids. It's like taking two wild dogs out with you. They just run and run and run and run and run, and you've just got to follow. And so when I'm on the other side, they say, "Granddad, can we go and play in the teepee?" I said, "Yeah, go on." And I'm sat in the car thinking, this is a great time to get the body back on recharge. And I'm sat in the car, and it's a huge car park, and there's three cars in it. How do you know? Because when it's a huge car park and there's no one in, you know how many cars are in there. And I'm one of the three. And the other car has got an old fellow with his dog. And the other car has got two young people with a dog. You know, I know that because I pay attention. So I'm sat in the car park. And the kids are playing in the teepee across the road. It's about from here to the wall at the back of the car park. So I can see them. They can see me. And a car comes in the car park. And for some reason, my alarm bells start ringing without them ringing. I've got an awareness on me straight away. So I'm thinking, okay, no reason to panic right now, but I'm aware. I know someone is approaching. And this guy is in the car and he's on his own, and we've got all the car parked. So where does he park? Right next to me. And he's just looking at me. And I'm thinking, okay, there's me, there's you, all this place. Out of all this place, why do you have to park right next to me? That's my first alarm bells. Red flag is going. So anyway, he's looking at me, and I know he's looking at me, so you consciously look straight ahead. So it seemed like an eternity. He's looking at him thinking, what is your game? What is your game? So he gets out the car. He doesn't know the kids are in the field. And I gets out the car and I walks over this little fence and starts walking. And he gets out of his car. And he starts walking. So by this time, I'm thinking, okay, we've got a Mexican standoff here. And one of you is going down and it ain't going to be me. And I'm getting in the fight or flight mode. And he's walking over, and I know something's not right. This isn't just a guy parking in a car park. Something's not right. And all my warnings, all my senses are saying to me, be ready, it could kick off any minute. Right? No, I'm 62, but you put me in a corner, I'm going to fight like I'm 22. I might burn out quick, but at least he's going to get... You'll say, hit him while he's talking, get the first punch in. So your pastor's into, no, we're not going to lay hands on him, love him. We're just going to take him down. Goliath's going down. Right? I'm just letting you know, pastor's spiritual right now. And I'm increasing. My heart rate's starting to, I know, you know, the warrior in me is about to fight. So then you start, internally you start saying, okay, Lord, send the legion. Send him down. And I'm walking, and I'm walking, I can hear his footsteps. So something inside me said, call the kids. So I shouts, "Harper!" So the kids come running out. And as the kid's running out, he turns around like that. And he walks back in the car. Hey, come on. Take three of us on now, will you? Take three of us on. And he gets in his car. Strangely enough, he gets in his car, reverses all the way to the other side of the car park, gets out the car, walks in the forest for no more than 20 seconds. And I don't know what he did in that forest. Walks back in his car and drives off. And it's like, woo! Then you start cooling down, get the water on. I could have had him. And I don't know what fully went on, but I know something was going on. And I can't explain what was going on in him. I know what was going on in me. And what was going on in me is the size of the fight in this old dog was rising up. Now, this old dog's not had to fight like that for many years. But I realize that this old man is not ready for a prolonged fight. He might have a punch and hopefully Goliath takes down with the 5 smooth stones. And hopefully Goliath goes down very quick because I don't know what my longevity is like in the fight. But all I know is he was going to get it and he was going to get it good for as long as I could, and then I might die and go to Jesus. And you never know the size of the fight that's inside of you until you're pushed in a corner. I didn't want this fight. I didn't go looking for a fight. It was a fight that came looking for me. Or that was my perception of what was going on. When you get those warnings on the inside, you don't get them for no reason. And I like to think the Spirit of God was watching me, saying, "Son, get ready, we're going into combat mode." So, the Terminator in me was ready. And I remember some years ago, in fact, it was 1982. 1982 will always be a day I never forget, when it was in a time when British football was in a phase called hooliganism. And if you were around in those days, you'll know everyone was fighting for no reason whatsoever. And this particular day, I was going to watch Man City play Leeds United in Leeds. And at the night time, I was going to watch Bob Geldof and the Boomtown Rats. Right? I don't like Mondays. Do you remember that song? Yeah. I don't like. Yeah. And so I had my day filled out. And I'm with Phil's brother, Paul. So we decided to go to Leeds. And there's always rivalry between City and Leeds, or United and Leeds. Come to think of it, Leeds and anyone. And we get off the coach. And as we get off the coach, they have a social club. And all their fans were outside. And they were all drinking and jeering. And I'm thinking, oh, they've come to welcome us. Well, as we gets off the coach and we start making our way from the coach park to the stadium, you've got to go past their social club. And obviously, insults and a fighting broke out. And I thought, oh my Lord. So I managed to navigate my way through the crowd, gets to the ground. Thought, whew. And all I can describe that day, the atmosphere was absolute toxic. Absolute toxic. So, we're in the ground, and as football fans do, they all berate one another. You're going home in an ambulance, all that kind of stuff. you'll get your head kicked in, all that kind of stuff. Come on, bring your mother. And so the game, and to make it worse, City score and win. So now the natives are absolutely mad and angry that they just want to kill some Manchester blue blood. So he's like, oh my Lord. So he gets out the stadium. Guess what? I've got to go back to the coach. And as we're walking back to the coach, lo and behold, they've come to greet us again. But this time, the intensity of the trouble is absolutely worse. But this time, I couldn't escape it. And this time, I'm getting a good kicking by this time. I'm getting punched. I'm getting kicked. And you're just trying to survive. This is British football. The only saving grace is I survived and we won. So we get back on the coach thinking, oh, I made it. But I was kicked, I was punched, bruised. I don't know where they were coming from. These boots and these punches were coming from everywhere and from everyone. And it just seemed like, wow, am I ever going to get out of this? It was definitely a fight or flight mode. I'll never forget this day. When you get kicked and punched all the way from a stadium to your coach, you never forget this day. And I changed the words of that song. I don't like Saturdays. Never mind, I don't like Mondays. So he gets on the coach. And as you, if you've ever been to Elland Road, you come out and the bus gets its way back onto the motorway. And as the bus gets on the motorway, you've got fields to your right and to your left. Well, little did I know, there was people to wave us goodbye in the fields. So what they were doing, they were throwing stones from the motorway onto the coaches. And the windows were getting smashed. It was like someone throwing grenades. And as you can imagine, you can see why I've never forgot that day, can't you? The trauma, I'm still going through it. But God is good. Just Leeds United fans are not. And why am I telling you that story? Because I realise this can't continue. I don't want to go to football matches if this is the risk I'm going to put myself into. Now, I've stood in some grounds around the country. I've stood in the Kop at Anfield. Stood in the Kop and had people spit on me because I got in the wrong end. Come late, you get in the wrong end. You get wherever there's space. I'm in the Kop, you know, and they're spitting on me. And I realise, you know what, forget this. This dog is too old for this fight. And I'm 20 years of age. And I'm thinking, there are some fights you just don't want. Don't need. Some fights you'll never walk away from. So when they sing you'll never walk alone, why would you walk alone in Liverpool? So I realised in those days that my trips to football matches away from home don't generally tend to go well. And that's simply because of the one, my team and where I come from, is someone's opportunity to have a fight. So I thought, this dog needs to remove himself from this fight. And there are some fights that you need to remove yourself from because your mouth keeps speaking. Your mouth is antagonizing, or your ways, or your practices, or your customs invite the wrong kind of fight to your life. The way you respond, the way you answer someone is an invitation for someone to attack you. True? Come on now. And you've got to acknowledge the way you respond to people may be antagonistic, or the way they respond to you may be antagonistic. You know, your wife can respond sharply. A husband can respond sharply to his partner or to his kids. And before you know it, a peaceful house turns into a cat and dog fight. Have you ever been there? Yeah. I can ask that question as my wife's just walked around the back, gone to the toilet. I know that the older we get, we have to conserve energy. Fighting has to be specific. It has to be purposeful. And it has to be well thought through. The older we get. I don't have the energy to argue with you all day. I don't have the intelligence to want to argue with you all day. Why? Because I'm working smarter as I get older. Not just working on energy and emotions. I'm working with my brain. Now, nobody wants to take their children to a football match and have it being like run the gauntlet. Thank God policing in football stadiums is far better today and far safer than it's ever been. Oh, I can't say ever been, but it's good and it's healthy. I have no problems now with taking my grandkids to a football match today. I don't. Why? Because I know the terrain now. When you're going in somebody else's ground, you don't know the area. You don't know the terrain. Anyway, it's not the size of the dog in the fight that counts. It's the size of the fight in the dog. Amen? This is so true. The size of the fight in the dog requires the animal to show tenacity, to have a strong jawline. Now, if I'd have been in that woods and that guy would have thrown a punch at me, he'd have probably checked out my jawline to see how versatile it was and to see how versatile I was. Whether I get knocked down but I get up again. Yeah, maybe in 2 days, I don't know. But it's the size of the fight in you that really brings you to the surface. Yeah? You know, you must acknowledge there is a fight on. When I went into that forest, I went into that forest peaceful. I went into that forest as a granddad with his grandchildren. There was an atmosphere inside my mind and my heart of family. It was peaceful. It should be. You were your grandchildren. It's a day out. Yeah? The only thing that was screaming was my pocket. But it was a peaceful environment. And very quickly, an environment that turned hostile, in my perception, very quickly. There was no reason for that guy to park next to me. There was no reason for that guy to keep looking at me. There was no reason for that guy to get out of his car and follow me. You gave me all the warnings of why you should go down and should bury you in the forest. And I just knew at that time that, you know, when you get old, you get that adrenaline pumps, and then you feel tired when you've had that adrenaline rush. It takes the energy out of you. And then you start thinking about the possibilities, the could have beens, the would have beens. And at the end of the day, I just walked away and I went, God, whatever you saved me from, thank goodness. Surely your goodness and mercy follows me all the days of my life. Because your instant focus is to protect the children. Not just protect yourself, but if I go down, what happens to the kids? So you don't expect that in a place like that. So you have to be aware that you have to acknowledge there's a potential of a fight around you. Because that potential warns you and arms you. You must understand this. God will bring us in environments. He'll bring us close to environments. But if you can't acknowledge, if you don't have a good self-awareness. Good self-awareness is important for you to recognize the potential fights that sit in your midst. They're like ticking time bombs. They are grenades that will go off, landmines that will go off. But if you're aware they're in there, you can avoid them. But if you're not aware, you will step on them and they will explode in your face. And you think, I didn't see that. Right. So we have to be aware that the enemy is all around us. Sometimes the enemy is inside of you. You're the enemy because of the way you think, the way you respond, the way you react. So I like the fact that God never is empty of power and strength and size. There's always a fight in our God. Now God doesn't go picking fights. But if you pick a fight with God, there's only one winner and there's only one loser. And in all the fights God's picked, or in all the fights that has been picked on God, he's the heavyweight, undisputed heavyweight of all time. He's never been defeated. He never will be defeated. Amen. Satan and the hordes of hell could not hold Jesus down. Jesus kept saying, it's not my time. In other words, you're not my fight. You're not my fight. The Pharisees would come in and they would antagonize. But because he could read their thoughts and a good self-awareness, it's amazing when you're reading scriptures and you see that he's boxed in and then you read and he slipped away. Stealth mode. I'm telling you, sometimes you've got to find a way of slipping away. And the best way to slip away is to keep your mouth shut. Yeah? Or diffuse it by the tone of your voice. And he kept saying, this is not my fight, you're not my fight, because I can see the one behind me, or behind you, who's trying to push you and me into a fight and get me out of sync with me and my Father. Why? Because I only do what my Father does. Dad says, you can take this one down, fight him, I fight him. If Dad says, it's not a fight today, son, avoid it. Yeah. So, it's almost like he's looking at Tom and he sees Mel behind him and he says, I can see that you're just a vessel that he's trying to use or she's trying to use. And he says, you and I will meet in the ring on the appointed time and you will go down. You will think I will give you the impression that I'm on the canvas and you're winning. But then you'll count to three and then I'll rise. And when I rise, game's over. You've got to learn to catch the wind of the Spirit in your most awkward times. It might look right now that someone's counting down your demise. But you're going to say, I'll rise again in 3, 4, 5 seconds. I'll rise again. Why? Because the one who is in me is greater than the one who's coming against me. And you've got to take God into the battle. You've got to take God into the battle. Now, you don't get into the battle and then say, God, where are you? That's not the way. This is not like Iron Man, you know. He goes in and he puts his arm up and he calls out for his armor and it just supernaturally appears from nowhere and he finds him. No, no, no. If we're in Christ and Christ is in us, then everywhere we go, Christ is with us. But everywhere Christ goes, we should also be with him. Right? So, God is undefeatable. Psalm 24. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures today. Some you just have to listen to. Some you might want to turn. I'll tell you what the scripture is. You don't have to turn to everyone. But I want you to get a thorough understanding of the one who's in our corner. Psalm 24, verse 8 said, who is this king? You've got to define who he is. Who is this king? And he's the Lord, and he's strong, and he's mighty. It's not just Jesus, it's the Lord who is strong, who is mighty. That's the picture of the one who stood with me in the forest. That's the one who stood with me in the forest. The Lord, the one who is strong, the one who is mighty. Yeah? The Lord, and he says that, and he says, and he's mighty in battle. Lift up your heads. In other words, get your eyes off the circumstance. Get your eyes on the one who is strong and the one who is mighty in battle. Lift it up. And then he says, you ancient doors. Oh, you gates, lift them up, you ancient doors. Now, the ancient doors is your mind. The way you think, the way you perceive, the way you respond, your traditions, your levels of thinking. They're ancient because you've always had them. So you've got to get a new perspective of the one who is strong and mighty in battle. Amen? That the King of Glory may come in. In other words, a fresh revelation comes in. A fresh understanding. A fresh perception. Fresh insight comes in of the one who is strong and the one who is mighty in battle. See, he might be strong and he might be mighty in battle. And you think, well, he can fight and he does fight and he fights for other people. But what about me? Yes. What about you? You're included. You've got to know this God for you. The one who is mighty, the Lord, the one who is strong, the one who is mighty, the one who is mighty in battle. Do we have any experience of standing next to the one who is strong and mighty in battle? Listen, the Lord, I know this is going to go over most of your heads now. Too many of us are expecting God to fight our battles for you, and that's the only experience you want of God. I'll say that again, it was so profound. Some of us, we're only looking for an experience where God will come and fight our battles for us and show his might and his power. What about you fighting the battles of God? Yeah. What about you partnering with God in his battles? Why does God always have to come and fight for you? Why don't we fight with God in his battles? So what do you mean, Pastor? Well, let's look at the tide of evil that's in our nation. Let's look at the tide of LGBT, BBQ, XYZ, and all that emphasizes, and all that tries to do. Let's look at the breakdown of family. Let's look at the breakdown of law and order. Where do you want me to stop? Let's go to our schools, for goodness sake. There's a battle of the Lord. There's a tide of evil that needs turning. That's the battle of the Lord. But if you need God to fight for you, that's the usher said, the only time you want God to fight is in your circumstance. How small is your understanding of the one who is mighty in battle? We need two perspectives. There are times when God will come and fight for you. And there are times when we should be standing alongside him and fighting in the battle that is bigger. Because the truth is, folks, you fight the battle of the Lord and you'll automatically discover you have less battles to fight. We cannot reduce God to just to our battles. We need to grow so we've got stature to come alongside him and fight the battle of the Lord. Because believe me not, there are battles beyond you and I. Much bigger. There are giants to take. What is it Tundi says? Giants to slay, what is it? Cities to take, giants to slay. What's the other one? Anyway. There are cities to take, giants to slay. Battles to win. There you go, third one. So, I said to you last week, the word for mighty in the Hebrew is a word called gibor. And that word means this. It means strength, power, and mighty hero. He's a mighty hero, and he's a warrior. So gibor, when God pronounces gibor, oh man of or woman of gibor, it means rise up with strength, a warrior-like heart, become like a hero to your environment. Every kid needs a hero. So why can't our children's hero be of parents who show our children our God is mighty in battle? That's an amazing hero for any child to see their parent praying, trusting God, standing on the word. I didn't mean ramming it down the throat. In Genesis 18:14, God asked, is there anything too hard for the Lord? Pause. Jeremiah asked the same question. 32:27, he says, I am the Lord, the God of all mankind. Is there anything too hard for me? Now, let's ask that question in this room. If the Lord is the one who is mighty, strong, and in battle, we all said we acknowledge that. So the next question, the reasonable question is, if this God is the Lord, strong and mighty, and strong in battle, let's ask the next question. Is there anything too difficult for him? But this is a dilemma for our faith. Because we have no problem believing that God is the one who says he is, but we just don't believe he'll do it for me. He does it for them, he's done it for her, he's done it a long time ago, and he's doing it somewhere else in the world. But what about me? Yeah, what about you? Because you know everyone else is asking the same question. Why not? The promises of God are for everyone who lay hold of them. So, the question is, do you possess the imperishable seed of God? Do you possess the imperishable seed of God? Well, if you say yes to that, then the Bible says you're a legitimate son and daughter. So you're in. If you're in Christ, then great is the one who is in you than he who is in the world. Because of the seed produces the Christ. The Christ is in you. You've got the seed in you, so you're legitimate. You are legitimate son and daughter. You've now got the one who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So the one who is in you is Christ. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost, the inheritance, everything's there. Greater than the one who hasn't got all those things. So why should the one who hasn't got what you've got be greater? He's not. Just the mind says he is. If Christ and the Father and the Holy Ghost are all living and they're active within you, then you now have size. You now have strength. You now have power. Because of what is inside of you, or the one who is inside of you, changes the size, the strength, and the power ratio of the one who is not in you. It's the one in you that gives you his size, his strength, his power. So now the size of the fight in the dog is a very, very different issue. Because of the one who is inside of us. Now, I've now, and you, have got to reach inside there and begin to draw on what's already inside of me. Yes. Now, why don't you try and throw your fridge magnet when you're going into a battle? I've got a fridge magnet at home that says, greater is he that is in me. Do you know your fridge magnet doesn't work, does it? Your poster on your wall, your bundle, you know, what would Jesus do? Yeah, good question. What would he do? He wouldn't be looking at your band. He'd be standing there and saying, you come at me like this, but I, in the name of the Lord who is in me, as a legitimate son and daughter, the one who is greater in me than he that is in the world, I come at you with. Because now I come with means I've got size, strength, and power. I come at you with size, strength, and power. Little old me, little old you, who's got size on the inside, who's got strength on the inside, who's got power on the inside, because of the one who is literally on the inside. So, let me say, Dream Center, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. Wake up! You see, when you don't have self-awareness, it takes something to wake us up so now we become aware, don't it? Now, this group of people, Revelation chapter 3, verse 2, it says, wake up and strengthen what remains and is about to die. For I have not found your deeds complete in the sight of God. Now, Tom, I'm giving you this word. Wake up, O sleeper, and arise, because God has not found his deeds yet complete inside of you. That's the word for you. Strengthen what remains. Strengthen what remains. Be self-aware. What has God put inside of you? Wake up and strengthen it. Yes. Strengthen it. Don't leave it dormant. Don't leave it uncovered. Don't leave it weak. Don't leave it out there for anyone, the flies, the Lord of the flies, Beelzebub, to come and land on and pick at and eat your flesh. Don't give him the opportunity. Strengthen what remains. For I have not found your deeds complete. If God was to go through this whole church, how many of us have not yet completed the deeds of what God has spoken to us about? Well, unless, thank you, your silence says all of us. Remember, therefore, remember. Oh, put that word, remember. This is the word, zakah. You'll see around the billboards the word zakat, which is an Islamic word, but this is a Hebrew word. Zakah means to remember. Now, when I've taught you this before, when the Hebrews are told to remember, it's not memory, it's an action. Don't just, oh yeah, remember that. No, it now requires an action, an immediacy. It's your action that shows you've remembered. It's not just a casual standby, psychological, you know, oh yeah, and you're trying to search for the files at the back lobe of your brain and bringing it until they come to the forefront and go, oh yeah, now I remember. You've done nothing, only just think. That's not what this is inferring. This is saying the moment you remember, you act. So strengthen what remains. Remember, therefore, what you have received and heard. Obey it, he says. And repent if you need to repent. That's okay, repent. The invitation is there, repent. But if you don't wake up, oh, okay. A different fight's coming to your door. I will come like a thief and you will not know what time I will come to you. Yet you have a few people in the dream center who have not soiled their clothes. It doesn't say the word dream center, it says Sardis. But for our reading, the dream center. We have a few people in the Sardis who have not soiled their clothes. They will walk with me dressed in white. For they are worthy. Do we have any worthy people? I'm asking you to all come dressed in white next week. The virgins of the celestial kingdom. No. He who overcomes will, like them, be dressed in white. He who overcomes. So overcomes means there's a battle. There's a fight. Who is the Lord's? Who is the Lord strong and mighty? We've got to know the one. We've got to fight the battle of the Lord, not just keep fighting ourselves. He who overcomes will light them dressed in white. I will never blot out his name from the book, but I will acknowledge his name, their name, before my Father and his angels. And then he says, he who has an ear. Anybody got ears here? He's not talking about your ear. He's not talking about that. He's talking about that. The ears of your heart, the eyes of your spirit. He's saying, ear as an ear, can you see this, what he's saying? Are your eyes open to what's being pronounced in front of you? Yes, well, ear as an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. It's not just a church, it's the churches, all those who are confessing that they are a church. So we can see there's a seriousness about this battle. There's a seriousness about your responsibility and your part to play in this battle. Because there is a battle that God will stand alongside of you when you're in the midst of. And many of us got that experience. But what God wants us to do is, he's looking for a church to partner with him in the battles of society. Yeah? You've seen how much disarray is in our government. Take any government in the world and you've got the same nonsense. We have to partner for strength. Not partner for fellowship. Strength. We bring what we have and we join. Like that, there. Arise, advance, accelerate, execute. That's battle. Everyone's bringing their strength. The only thing we haven't got in there is the Lord who is strong and mighty. So, and then he says, the warning to us is this. Don't shrink back. Let's go to Hebrews 10. Are you on the same page here? Don't shrink back. Don't shrink back. So tempting to shrink back. Why do we shrink back? I'm tired. I'm busy. I'm not on top form. Do you know when I was in that forest, I was not shrinking back. I had no time. There was too much at stake, those kids. Those kids were at stake. I didn't know what intent was in this man's mind. All I know is I'll give it the best I've got to protect those kids. Hebrews 10:32 says, remember those earlier days after you received the light. They were glorious days, eh? When we first received the light. You had received the light. When you stood your ground in a great contest in the face of suffering. That was the battle right there. Woo. Sometimes you were publicly exposed to insult and persecution. At other times, you stood side by side those who were so treated, like that banner over there. You sympathized with those in prison and joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property. Wow. Because you knew that yourselves had a better and lasting possession. My strength was not in my goods. Hello? Yeah. Nothing wrong with goods, by the way. Nothing wrong. Just don't put your hope in them. Yeah. If I learned anything about a burglary that took place in our house many years ago, is that you can, that stuff that can be replaced. Now, not, I know not every jewelry can't be replaced and sentiments can't, but it's amazing how quick you can rise and live without them. Do you know, to break the attachment, to break the attachment of sentimentality, because I was so aware that when I lost, when we got burgled, my mother had bought me a guitar. And it was like, this is the piece of my mother that she's given to me. And they stole it. Rat bags. Rat bags. And I realized very quickly, I can live without a guitar, and I can live, and I had a folder, a box, which was like a flight case. And I had all my notes had saved up, and they took the lot. Rat bags. I had a wheelie bin right through my window. Rat bags. Right? And I realized that I can live without them. And that burglary taught me, don't get attached to sentimental things. Now, it's hard when you have a fondness for some things. So I was in a meeting one day, and the only thing I had of my father was his wedding ring. So I'm not telling you this is something you've got to do. This is my story. Okay? And there was a preacher from South America called Hector Jimenez, and he had a church of 250,000. Just a small church, eh? And he was preaching, and God says to me, put your ring in. Put your father's ring into the offering. And I thought, whoa, okay. And you know what? I didn't even wrestle. I didn't even have to wrestle with the idea that this is the last piece of my father. Do you know why? Because my dad's inside there. He's not on my finger. He's inside there. And I went and I just put the ring in the offering like it was not a problem. Why? Because I wasn't attached to things. Now, I'm not saying you can take all my life and I'm not going to cry over some stuff. I'm not giving you this picture of there's nothing attached to me. People are more important to me than attachments. People are not attachments. People are friends, family. They're deeper than that. And some friends are more sincere than family. Sorry, Phil, I'm not talking about you. No, they are. It all depends. At some point, the battle will come on the inside about what you have to let go of. It's not about what you own, it's what's got hold of you. It's what owns you. So anyway, he says here, remember, you were in prison and you joyfully accepted the confiscation of your property because you knew that you yourselves had better and long-lasting possessions. So don't throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. Don't throw it away. Don't throw it away. Why? Well, it might not look good right now. Don't throw it away. I listened to a guy this week called Josh Harris, and he wrote a book that... what was he calling that? Ow. Something to do with dating. Kissed and dated or something. Anyway. And this guy became the model for purity in the church of how to date a girl, right? And keep your purity. And it became a big bestseller. Only for him to come out now and renounce his ways. And this is happening more and more. Many, many men, pastors who grew big churches, what they call mega church ministries, were sold and sold many, many books, are now abandoning the Christ and are saying, well, and they're trying to explain away why they should now not believe. And this guy says, I'm more freer now than I've ever been. There's deception for you straight away. My question is not that you've left. My question is, what sin are you hiding? I've seen it so many times. strong men and women falling away. Wow. And you think it's only you. See, when you do it inside the church, you do it quietly. We might not see you again for 6 months, ever again. And you just slip away out the back door like nothing ever happened. No accountability, no transparency. But when guys like this go online and post, and then try and explain it and glorify why they should, you realize that, okay, this is the whittling down, but there's still many of us. There's still many of us. Still, the kingdom is being harvested. So it's a shame and saddens me to see the devil deceiving good people. But it's what happens. It's what happens. But you, me, us, we together must keep hold of what God first revealed to us. The battle of the Lord is on the outside and on the inside. You must stand and you must remember what you've been given and whom gave it to you. It's not me what gives it to you, it's the Lord. One thing I might say, but two things will witness inside your heart. Keep hold of it, irrespective of what somebody's doing. Don't gloat when somebody's prospering. I said, don't get jealous, you should say, when someone else is prospering. That's not your race. Don't despise other people when they seem to be advancing and you know they've done it wrongly. That's not your race. Keep your peace. Don't seek revenge on somebody. You know, when we run the video in our minds, we all do it. The perfect execution. We all do it. We all do it. Don't do it. Why? Don't covet your neighbour's houses. I know sometimes when I'm driving in certain areas and it takes me half an hour to walk past somebody's house. I like it so much to turn around again. If only, Lord. If only. Oh, I believe in the name of Jesus. Oh, please, please, please. Get behind me, Satan. I can have it. I can have it. My God says I can. No, shut up. I don't fall for that stuff. I don't covet my neighbour's ox. If my neighbour's got an ox and he's bought it and he's worked hard for it, bless you. Bless you. Yeah? Just don't park your ox inside my house. Yeah? So, and then he says in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, you need to persevere so that when you've done the will of God, are we going to do the will of God? Are we going to do the will of God? Yes. Well, I am. And hopefully I'll do it with some of you, alongside you. You will receive what has been promised. For just in a very little while, he who is coming will come. And he won't delay. In other words, he'll be on time. But my righteous ones will live by faith. But if he shrinks back, if she shrinks back, if they shrinks back, I will not be pleased with them. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but we are those who believe and are saved. Amen. This is our portion. Amen. Believe, stand, grow in size, grow in strength, grow in power for impact. Yeah? Now, if I says to Elijah and John, if I put two weights and I ask them both to stand up and I put two weights in their hand, right, and they just use one hand, which one of these two do you reckon? Let's have a little bit of a participation. Which one would you reckon will be able to, which is your strongest hand, John?
The right one.
You're wrong. Elijah? What? You can only choose one. Which one are you going to have? The right?
The right.
Okay. So if I ask them to stand up there and I put some weight in their hands and they can only use one hand, it's got to be outstretched. It can't be like that. It's got to be outstretched. How long do you reckon? It's a good size weight. Let's imagine, we'll call it, what do you reckon, Phil? A couple of pounds? Kilos for these boys? Are they weak? Are they strong? Then this boy's got some strength. Yeah, let's just say we put 10 kilos. 10 kilos, which is a good size weight. One hand. No, we'll go five. We'll go five. I can see you're old, man. You see, I've come up with a new acronym now. I'm OLD. Some people are OLD ERs. So if you're an ER, it means you're older than me. So they both stand up there. They've got 5 kilos in the hand. 5 kilos, I know they can pick 5 kilos up. It's not a problem. But the longer they stand up there, their arms begin to shake. Yeah? And then the... And you go, hold it, you can hold it. Hold on. He who's coming, he's coming. He won't delay. Hurry up, get here then. That'd be John. All they've done is held what was entrusted to them. 5 kilos. Boys, I only asked you to carry 5 kilos. Could you not carry 5 kilos? And they say, of course I can carry 5 kilos, but it's the length of time you're asking me to hold on to it. It's the length of time. It's amazing we can hold, some of us can't hold on to money for 2 minutes. Some of us won't spend it. We're that tight. We'll hold on to it forever and ever. But all I asked them to do was hold 5 kilos. And then John's hand started shaking. I will not let go, Lord. I will go down with the ship. Elijah's saying, quit, you quit. Quit, you quit and I'll quit. You quit first and I'll quit. And God says, neither of you will quit. Stand there. Hold on to the word. Now, what's the weight of your Bible? What's the weight of your Bible? Mine's probably lighter than yours because it's in an iPad. But if I, after a while, everything gets heavy. Yeah. Everything gets heavy. Now, aren't you glad you know someone with an outstretched arm? Yes. Genesis 49:22 says this. Joseph is a fruitful vine. Joseph is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine near a spring whose branches climb over the wall. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They shot him with hostility. In other words, they used their strength to try and shoot at him. But this, his bow remained steady. His strong arms stayed limber. But his bow remained steady, his strong arms stayed limber because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because of the shepherd, the rock of Israel, because of the Father's God who helps you, because of the Almighty who blesses you with his blessings of the heavens above the blessings of the deep that lies below the blessings of the breast and the womb. There's so much in this. You know what I like about this? This is my version to the Wizard of Oz. Because we read, because. Everything is a because. Because. The wonderful Wizard of Oz. Yeah? So in case you didn't know, that was a rendition free of charge. What's that? A wrong one. Yeah. How many times do we read the word because? I'll tell you, it's 4 times. Because. It's there in the Bible. Before the movies ever made it, it's there. He attributes all his strength because. Because. So how can you hold on to 5 kilos? Now ask John and Elijah to stand there with 5 kilos and ask him to quote, greater is he that was in me than he was in the Lord. Ask him to quote the outstretched arm of the Lord. He's strong and mighty. They're not going to do it. Why? Because the strength has got to be on the inside. So, let's read this again. It's so powerful. So powerful. Put your name, Z's Vine. Put your name in there. Put your name. It's not Joseph. Put your name in there. Are you a fruitful vine? Are you a fruitful vine? Put the Clarks in there. Put the Warringtons in there. The Duffields in there. Whatever name you want to put in there. Put my name in there. You can borrow my name if you want. Tony is a fruitful vine. A fruitful vine. A vine, A fruitful vine near a spring. Oy, oy, oy. Where's your source? Where's your source? My source is in a spring. Hope springs eternal. Faith is a spring that springs eternal. You need a spring. If you're going to know this God who is strong, who is mighty, you need a spring. I'm not talking about the boing, boing, boing kind of springs. A spring of life. Water is classed as a spring. It brings vitality. It refreshes. It cleanses. It strengthens. It quenches, yeah? And all that kind of stuff. So put your name back in there. Tony, Jimmy, Julie, Susie, whatever your name, Melissa. Joseph is a vine. A vine that's near a spring. Are you near a spring, Elijah? Yes, you are near a spring. You're all in a spring here right now. I'm a spring. I can speak for myself. I'm a spring. Okay? Now watch this. Whose branches climb over the wall. So what my strength is now showing my size. Because now I've got branches that lean over the wall. So now I've got capacity. I've now got capacity to lean over the wall. Speak tenderly to the tree. Now, whose branches climb over the wall? Then it says, with bitterness, not your bitterness, there was an outside force that tried to attack you. Archers attacked him. Fiery arrows, fiery darts. We read about that in the book of James. Fiery arrows, fiery darts came at him from all directions. But what were they fired from? They were fired from bitterness. Because you know when someone's bitter, they fire arrows. True? They fire arrows. Do you know the good thing about this morning is all I've got is scriptures on my notes. I've got nothing in between. I've got no reminders, say this, say that, say that. All I'm talking to you this morning is scripture. I'm confident that as I start reading scripture, God will give me the words to speak to you.
Yes.
Right? So he says this. With bitterness, archers attacked him. They want him down. Why? Because he's a vine. They're jealous. You know, if you're a vine, you are a supplier. You are a supplier. You're not a consumer. You are a supplier. That's why Jesus says, he who remains in the vine. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Someone who remains in the vine is a supplier. Right. They shot at him with hostility. Some of you are going into work tomorrow and there's bitter archers trying to shoot you down with hostility. Some of you are going home and you may have partners who's not a Christian or are not at the same level, strength, whatever, and their words may try and shoot you down with hostility. Do you know our children can do it as well with their words? You've got to recognize there's an archer in the camp who wants to remove you and shoot you because they attack the vine. You know, a parent is a spring of wisdom. And kids don't like wisdom when it cuts across their wants and their desires. But the spring must stay fresh. Amen? So, whose branches climb over the wall, who bitter archers attacked him. They shot him with hostility. You know, they used their strength. But her bow. Now, I can't think of any arena worse than the political arena for dodging arrows. Dominic Raab this week got shot by the arrows. Bitter. People, opportunists looking to get him out of the way. So other career opportunists can step in his... Yeah? He's got the arrows from his own party. He's got the arrows from opposite parties. He's got the arrows from everyone's got an opinion on it. Yeah? However. But his bow remains steady. His strong arm. Strong arm. Stayed limber. Didn't limp. Limber. Because, number one, of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob. Who is this king? He is the Lord. He is strong and mighty. And he was the one who sustained Jacob by his outstretched arm. 5 kilos, 5 nations, 55 nations, 265 nations, 365 nations. It can all be sustained by that one arm. God's got the whole world in his hand. Is there anything too difficult for the Lord? No. Who is this Lord? The Lord's strong and mighty. One hand. That's all it takes. Because of the hand of the Lord, because of the hand of the mighty one of Jacob, because this is one facet of him. Now he explains another facet, because now he's a shepherd. What's this? Because of the shepherd. The shepherd is the one who leads. The shepherd is the one who protects. Amen? The shepherd, you need a shepherd. God will be your shepherd. God is going to be the leader. Because the shepherd, the rock of Israel. So the shepherd who is strong, he doesn't falter. Because, third, because of your fathers. You can stand strong because of what others have labored to put into you. You can stand strong because there are other men in a leadership who have gone before, who can provide for you in your time of need. Word. He is the shepherd. We're not replacing him. He is the rock. We're not replacing him. But God needs representatives on the ground who can feed. That's the part of a shepherd. Amen? Or your fathers, God, who helps you. Your fathers help you. There's the role of a father. They help you. Yeah? Because of the Almighty who blesses you with blessings of heavens, of the heavens above. Something must be coming from above into our lives. Amen. Blessings of the deep that lies below. Blessings of the breast of the womb. Yeah. Four becauses. Because. Not the wonderful wizard. He's not a wizard. So let's stand to our feet. I could go on, but I'm not. It's a good place to put the word sealer. Woo. So, are we about to wake up and strengthen what remains? Are we? Let me ask this side. Members of the jury. Members of the jury, are we about to wake up and strengthen what remains? Yes. You sure? Yes. Members of the jury, before we make our unanimous confession together in the sight of Almighty God, are we about to wake up and strengthen what remains?
Yes.
Finally. Oh, you desperate bunch. Members of the jury, are you about to wake up and strengthen what remains?
Yes.
Yes. Are you about to waken everybody up who's asleep?
Yes.
Around you?
Yes.
And help encourage them to strengthen what remains. Listen, little or much needs to be retained.
Yes.
Little or much. Little or much. Don't compare you with someone else. Compare yourself with what God has for your life. Little or much. With an outstretched arm, God is able to sustain us. Your little or your much, but you must wake up. Because to wake up is to acknowledge what God is saying and to move towards what he's doing. Take a grip of that arm. You can swing on it. Have you ever seen those dads who put their arms out and let the kids swing on it? The dad can only do it for so long. But the kids don't know that. The kids don't know that. You see, my granddaughter, she runs at me. Ella, you've seen her. She's coming here. She's not that big. She's bigger than Phil. And she runs at me. It's like, where once upon a time, she just runs at me. I can stand full front, and just take her. Now, I braced myself. She's coming at me like this. I'm thinking, oh, darling, don't do this. Don't do this. You're taking granddad down. And she knows it, and she laughs about it. But I haven't got the heart to say, stop doing it. Because that's our affection. That's the granddad thing. So I say, I don't ever get to that point where you say to your grandkids, just touch me down. No, 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 no. That's uncool. Let's embrace. But let's swing on the arm. Let's swing on the arm. If you will, raise both arms in the air. And I want you now to be serious. Come before the Lord and say, Father, I hear, I acknowledge the word that you have spoken into my heart today. I thank God that I am connected to the God of Jacob, that you are a fruitful vine. And Lord, as a young child, I come back, and listen to what I'm saying. As a young child, you're not a child, but you come as a young child. I come back to suck on the breast of the one who fed me. The one who feeds me. The one who sustains me. Like a child, I yearn for the breast milk. So I can grow. So you can wean me off. So I can eat meat and stand, which shows that my strength is beginning to grow and develop. Now you have to go and change your behavior. Open your Bible and start reading your Bible, whether you understand it or not. Just ask the Holy Spirit, like I do every time I open my Bible, Lord, if you don't shed light on this, I can't understand it. I need you to help me understand. Just read the book of John. Stay in the book of John for a while and just keep reading the book of John until you get an understanding of the light. And then move on to the Gospels. And just stay in the Gospels until you have an understanding of some things. Little by little, start feeding yourself. And you'll find that the vine begins to flourish. Now, if you need to repent today, you need to repent. You need to come before the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. I have wavered. I have dropped the ball. I have walked away. I have doubted. I feel so far away. Today, Lord, forgive me. I acknowledge where I am with you. But you are so good. You are forgiving. You are loving. You have given me an opportunity to come back, to step up, to step in. You have given me this opportunity. And Father, today I lean on the arms of the everlasting. Amen. I come back to you and I say, Father, forgive me. Forgive me for where I've been. I have drifted. I have put down what I was once convicted about. And Lord, today I pray with heaven's strength. Accept me. Forgive me, reinstate me today, knowing full well that as I repent, Lord, you say I will be accepted in Jesus' name. For those who have not backslid, but have become weary, I want you to pray this prayer with me today. Dear Heavenly Father, I've not always been felt I've had the strength to lean on the everlasting arms. Because of my choices, because of my own will has led me to lean on other things at times when I should have looked to you, the rock, the vine, the shepherd. Lord, forgive me. You've woken me up this morning that greater faith is required of me. Greater trust. Father, I look to you, the rock of Israel. You are my strength. You are my shepherd. You are my rock. You are my archer. You are my bow. You are my axe. You are my strong tower. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for the word has come to me again and again to strengthen me, to lift me up, to take me to a higher place. I thank you, God, that I worship a God who is higher than me. I thank you, O Lord, that you are far above all principalities, powers, thrones, and governments. I place my trust in you, O God. Strengthen me today in the name of Jesus. And the people of God said, amen. Amen. Do you feel strengthened now? Do you feel strengthened? Good. Do this. Do this. My size is growing. My size is growing. Amen. Lord bless you. Have a good day.